We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hollett.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with the classified ad seen in the Liverpool Echo, read by Brian Perkins.
Top Robbie Williams tribute band require a new front person, male or female.
Thanks to Graham Madrell for that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Armando Iannucci. Opposite them on my left, Francis Ween and Linda Smith. Jeremy, the traditional easy question, whose sexy dossier turned out to be a bad read?
I have absolutely no idea. In September, the government published up-to-date specifications on Iraq's capabilities, which were very, very modern and contained phrases like, the Mesopotamian is a wily Arab, more skittish than the dervish, but more stationary than the Bedouin. And so far, they have actually found in Iraq huge underground stocks of a toxic liquid which clings to the skin and suffocates by blocking the pores. And you can run cars on it, which is good. But apart from that, they found very little. And we keep being told we were deceived. We weren't. We didn't believe them. I'm tired of Claire Short saying, we've all been joked. And you think, no, Claire, you were. No. You thought you'll stay in the government, attack Blair's rear from the inside. People, they say, well, there's intelligence, isn't there? They must know something we don't know. I'm sorry, I refuse to believe there is anything that George Bush knows, but I don't know. How to hold a fork, how to use the bathroom correctly, I can do all of those things. But Rita said it's all there up. Forces more powerful than we could possibly control who are manipulating this. And it's all the spooks and the spies trying to topple Blair by telling us stuff that we already know.
Well, I sort of sympathise with them a bit, looking for these weapons of mass destruction, because I'm like that with scissors. Honestly. I just turn the house upside down. Of course, the difference is I know I have got some scissors.
They lied twice over, because in that dossier it also said that there was a chap called Saddam Hussein in Iraq, and no one's found him, so he claims...
The dispute is over the claim that Saddam had weapons that could be utilised within 45 minutes, and he said that in the dossier that was simply a misprint, and it should be Saddam could use them within 45 years.
And if he hadn't used them, he could return them to the manufacturer in the original package, which would be in America.
It's the continuing controversy over government claims about Iraqi weapons of mass destruction, fuelled further this week by John Reid's decision to attack rogue elements within the security forces. Claims that the government routinely sought to sex up briefings were denied by a senior civil servant who was wearing a peekaboo bowler hat and a crotchless three-piece suit. Armando, who's decided to solve the contiguing saga in the Middle East this week?
This is Jeremy's friend, this is George Bush, who has been travelling all around the world. And he went to France to case the joint. Right. And then he went to Egypt and had a conference in Alexandria, European City of Culture, 2000 BC. And he looked at the pyramids and the Sphinx and said, oh, look, they're building a new Las Vegas. And then he went to Jordan to present his roadmap to peace. And he's come up with a brilliant idea, which is if people just sat down and did a bit of give and take, everything would be fine, which no one had thought of before.
Israelis would always say to you, why Israel? Why do you always criticise Israel? And my answer is, because you're in the Eurovision Song Contest. If you aspire to European values, you will come under scrutiny. Because they turn up every year. And the poor receptionist has got this embarrassing thing. She's all sitting there with the welcome packs and the badges and everything. And Israel turns up and she says, well, I'm sorry, I don't think you're in Europe. Let me just look. Oh, no, I'm sorry. My mistake. Dude, enjoy the day. Well, what was I to do? He had a tank.
Bush said the native language of the people of Latin America was Latin.
He also said that what needs to happen in the Israel-Palestine conflict is that both sides need to sit down like good Christians. Yeah.
Well, Well, he also said to them this week, he said he wanted to ride herd with them, and then afterwards he said, I'm not sure they understood my language because they haven't watched Bonanza.
George W. Bush embarked on a personal quest for a Middle East peace settlement. Critics are worried because the last time George W. embarked on a personal quest, it took him 3 days to find the pretzels in the presidential larder. Linda, which newspaper had a sting in its tail?
Which newspaper had a sting in its tail?
We know.
So do we.
So do we, thank you, Jeremy. Don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Just yes, we
don't
do.
Don't let that hardy get
no,
me.
No,
the Daily Scorpion. Just because he's been... Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Linda's about to answer.
Linda, which newspaper had a sting in its tail?
We know.
Well, apparently Jeremy knows, but as it's not Jeremy's question, it's rather academic, isn't it? Is this Beckham thing?
Yes.
The kidnap thing. The trials collapsed, mainly because it was all made up. And the whole story was that there was this plot to kidnap Victoria Beckham. It all rang a bit false because they sent the ransom note to a record company and there's no way they were coughing up, but... and they tried to sort of lure her into a trap with a series of ever larger Louis Vuitton handbags. And eventually she'd just be trapped in a big shop and forced to eat luggage to survive. So it was all not true.
They were going to keep her in a flat in South London. I mean, you'd want more... I mean, how much were they asking? 5 million?
5 million,
to spend more than a couple of days in a small council flat in South London with Victoria Beckham, you would need more than 5 million, wouldn't you?
I loved a comment when they said the police explained to the Beckhams what had actually happened.
A series of charts and flashcards.
Since this programme's been made, David and Victoria are able to go into shops on their own.
It's the collapse of the Beckham kidnapping case following admissions by the prosecution that the dramatic News of the World sting was a put-up job. At the time of the report, News of the World claimed it had stopped the crime of the century, a claim completely proved false by the continued existence of David Dickinson. Francis, listen to this. Francis, who's been contractually obliged to give it up?
It's Labour's rather brilliant new idea for reducing the NHS budget, I think. They're going to have this thing whereby the health service won't treat anyone who's unhealthy. But that's it. If you smoke or drink or don't eat 5 fruit and vegetables a day, and especially, I think, if you're overweight... Mm. Then you're in big trouble and GPs won't touch you.
As well, they just might make the doors bigger.
Are we going for our fat people complaints on feedback again?
It just dawned on me that about 2 weeks ago we had a question about obesity and there was a complaint, I think, so we have to tread carefully here.
Let's just cut out the middleman. Let's complain to feedback ourselves. What's their address?
Where do people go to complain about feedback? There's not a programme, is there?
You go to You and Yours.
I bought this shirt thinking it was a pair of trousers.
Government's considering plans to force smokers and the overweight to sign contracts promising to give up smoking or start dieting in return for treatment. It's not as if we're asking patients to sign away their souls, said Department of Health spokesman B.L. Zebub. Officials stress the government aren't asking people to do anything they haven't done themselves. Mr. Blair finally gave up the evil weed in 2001 when he finally sacked Peter Mandelson. We start round two with an item from the Wildlife Trust's News and Events Guide.
July the 27th, discover the magic of rare peatland habitats, spend a day on the bog.
Thanks to Trevor Bowles of Horringer for sending that in. Jeremy, whose crowning achievement was, need I say more?
Ah, your woman, the Queen, there. Now, I was sitting in a hotel in Kilkenny on Monday, watching wall-to-wall coverage on Sky, and also CNN. And CNN's weird, because every presenter has a slightly different accent. It's like sort of Star Trek. And then they've got this weird man on CNN who speaks as if his gullet is swelling with regurgitated lentils. And he's actually said the Queen has been on the crown for 50 years. And I thought, that does explain that bewildered expression that she has.
She had a children's party as well,
yeah,
didn't she?
They weren't her kids, though. No. Anybody else wouldn't have got away with that, would they? You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm going to have a load of kids over to the house. You just think, uh-oh. But she gets away with it.
I think she just wanted to be surrounded that day by people too young to remember Diana.
Well, that's true.
You know, ask embarrassing questions. What do you mean,
A relative of mine in the line of work has got to meet a member of the royal family, Princess Anne, to be precise, and they've been sent a big list of things that they must and mustn't do, you know, in her presence or, you know, things to say. And the first one is that Princess Anne must be addressed not as Mom, but as Ma'am. Brackets, yeah. Rhymes with ham.
You have to say all of that.
Yeah. And you mustn't say, where's your old man tonight then, eh?
The week saw the 50th anniversary celebrations of the Queen's coronation. Celebrations gave a prominent role to coronation babies. That's people born on the day of the coronation and not a new twist on coronation chicken. Armando, listen to this.
Sure that really added anything.
That was a theme tune to Black Beauty.
It was.
2 points.
Right, next who's question.
Who's been putting the stallion in Italian?
Well, I have to defend my country's honour here. There are rumours that some salamis may have horse meat in them.
Aren't these rumours started by scientists who've analysed this salami?
yes, but these weren't Italian scientists. Apparently, most salamis are fine. There are one or two salamis that have horse meat in them, and you can detect them because they are 5 feet in diameter, 7 feet long, and they have four other salamis. Two from the front, two in the back, and a horse's head on them. They're basically horses in a vest. But there is nothing wrong with having horse meat in, you know, if that's the bag you're into. You know, it would be worse if there was jockey meat in salami. If you found bits of Leicester Piggott in, you know, German sausages and John McCurrick in a pasty, you know. That's when you start being the Queen Mother in pita bread. You know, that's when you start launching an inquiry. But since that hasn't happened, I don't see what all the fuss is about. It's only a horse.
So you're vegetarian.
It's not all Italian manufacturers. It's a few bad eggs and rotten apples, which are the ingredients of pork pies.
Government is to launch an investigation into salami, chorizo and other exotic sausages after an investigation discovered 1 in 8 contained horse and donkey meat.
It's good odds.
Three types of salami were tested, plain, peppered and shergar. Eating horse and donkey is not against the law, though Muffin the Mule is still illegal in 37 states. Linda, which city is more made up than Ken Dodd's tax returns?
Yes, it's Liverpool, which is going to be the city of culture in 2008, I believe. I bet Oxford's really annoyed. Probably thought, oh, we're going to walk this, aren't we? Newcastle, Gateshead, Liverpool, and then Liverpool wins. Oxford must be just going, oh, this is an outrage. Of course it should be me. It's their crime rate that's done against them. It's Inspector Morse, that documentary. That's... And right next to them is the Cotswolds Midsummer Murders. Until they sort out that terrible crime problem, no chance.
I think
it's quite good, Liverpool, being it. It's a Absolutely. City where everyone's funny, except the comedians.
They're jolly good at pop music, because that Eurovision entry showed.
That was the Mersey sound, which was just the sound of the Mersey, wasn't it, the Eurovision entry? Which is what happens when you put a lot of prams in water. It sounds like that.
Simon, you're not about to read out some jokes about Liverpool being full of thieves, are you?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Got my letter to feedback ready.
Dear feedback, we know where you live.
I was just going to say, listeners in Liverpool will be writing letters now. Those that haven't had their radio stolen.
Liverpudlians are celebrating their city's new status as European Capital of Culture 2008. Which is terrific news because it gives Liverpool 5 whole years to acquire some culture. Liverpool beat 5 other cities to the title, but only after stealing the tyres from the judge's car.
I come from Glasgow, which was the last British city of culture in 1990, and it closed with a closing ceremony that involved a fireworks display. And the organisers decided it would be good to have it early on in the evening so that children could attend. So it was in daylight. And no one could see it.
Francis, why should you be excited about birds with teeth?
French scientists.
He's still young enough for birds with teeth, Francis. If there's any frisky widows in the audience... I do ones without teeth, whatever they're useless, don't they, Frankie? You know what I mean? Carry on. Carry on.
Some of them are false, but it doesn't matter. As long as they're in, it's all right. It is French scientists, isn't it? That's what they do. They've bred a chicken with a mouse and produced a bird which has teeth and a little tail.
Why?
Which is jolly useful. Well, because I think it's something to do with curing baldness, rather strangely. The birds used to have teeth 70 million years ago, and now they've got the mouse genes in there. The birds have rediscovered their teeth. And this shows that you can have a sort of genetic memory and you can wake up these genes and get them going again, so we could turn back into early Neanderthal creatures if only we made the effort. And if you bung the right genes, you know, if you do a genetic implant of a polar bear or something into a bald man, he then turns into Boris Johnson.
If they can grow anything, why can't they just grow a scientist who knows how to cure baldness?
Or just grow hair.
I like the idea of the chickens with teeth, though. That would give the old battery farmers a few scary moments. Walking in amongst them. Yeah, come on, D. Beacus. Come on. Take you all on.
A team of Anglo-French scientists have created a bird with teeth that may provide a cure for baldness and new dental treatments. These are thought to be the first birds with really weird teeth since Esther Anson. Before we start the final round, here's an extract from a local county council's website.
Plasterer urgently required to cover Bradford-on-Avon.
Thanks to Paula Daly for that. Jeremy, listen to this. Jeremy, why is it more a case of power to the pobble this week?
Is pobble Welsh for people?
Hmm.
Ah, because it's fobble in Irish. It's interesting because it's the same derivation, Celtic language. I'm sorry, am I boring you? There's a village in Wales that's had no electric ever, and they finally got it. But they've had generators, and you thought, oh, this is going to be charming. It's all about how they had to microwave their pasties by dashing them against rocks and things. And and they've got more flipping electrical appliances than most people in the country. And they're all saying, well, it was terrible because when we used the hairdryer, we couldn't use the flight simulator at the same time. They've been perfectly all right. They've had generators, they've had gas, they've had candles, they've had...
The internet.
They've got everything they need, but it's just they're not connected to the national grid.
How'd they run that, then? It's not solar power in Wales, I know that.
It's rain and misery power. It's all grudge-driven. It's all powered by a misplaced sense of colonial oppression, which is quite historically erroneous, because Wales was never colonised and oppressed in the way that Ireland was, but nonetheless they have reinvented themselves as an oppressed people, despite the fact that they have been entirely complicit in British imperialism, as have the Scots. Sorry, I'm not that.
I'm just thinking of the Celtic fringe feedback that's...
12 homes in the Mid Wales community of Cwmbrefi have been brought into the 21st century with the installation of mains electricity. Local residents were connected to the national grid on Tuesday, and after an apology from the Welsh Electricity Board, they were disconnected from the grid and the cables were attached to their homes instead. Linda, which flipping ship of fools needed rescuing this week?
Yes, this is these two rowers who set off from Australia to row across the Indian Ocean in a rowing boat. That's a rowing boat, such as you get on a boating lake. Across the Indian Ocean. Which I suppose they thought, oh, Indian Ocean, that sounds warm. That'll be fine. 25-foot waves. They're in a rowing boat. They ate their sandwiches just after they left Australia. They're wearing shorts. There are 25-foot waves. And they have to be rescued. Now, would that be by another rowing boat? No, by the entire Australian Navy. They should have left them there.
They set off these people with nothing more than some Kendall mint cake and some flip-flops, didn't they? And they say, well, it's all for charity. And you think, no, it's not. It's for your thwarted ego. Because you went round the neighbours and said, I'm trying to raise money for arthritis. They wouldn't say, well, you can go and row across the Australian Ocean, mate. Before I give you any money for those twisted bastards, I want to see you drown in the sea.
Dear me. And they said... The rescue went ever so well. Yes, because they're not idiots like you.
I used to row at school in the River Clyde. And we'd get down on a blistery, cold Saturday morning, and we'd set off, and we'd go round the bend, and we'd just quickly dock at the next boathouse and go in and watch Tiz Wars for an hour. And our teachers knew nothing about it.
British rowers Mike Neil-Smith and Rob Abernethy had to be rescued this week from the Indian Ocean by an Australian Navy frigate after Mike was injured in a storm. Rob described the ferocity of the storm in an email. Happily, Mike was wearing a harness, or he would not be lying next to me now. And Summers would like us to stress that their products should only be used under strictly controlled conditions. Francis, who was flightless and fancy-free this week?
Is it the rear?
Yes, it is.
It's one of those birds, like an ostrich or an emu. But a couple in Norfolk kept this thing as a pet, as people in Norfolk do. And the rear was desperate to get away, as rears in Norfolk are. They spent 28 hours chasing it around the fields and calling in helicopter gunships and SWAT teams and things. And they caught it after a mere 28 hours, and they've herded it back into its pen, poor little thing.
This week, an escaped pet rare roamed the Norfolk countryside for 28 hours before finally being recaptured by its owners. The hunt for the rare was stepped up after Michael Parkinson was seen striding through the countryside with a shotgun, shouting, Rod Hull can't save you. Come to Daddy. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Jeremy.
Bit of paper sent in by Jim McCormick from Belfast. And it's a cutting from the Belfast Telegraph, which is the paramilitary wing of the Daily Telegraph. And it says, an Ulster GP hit a psychiatric patient with a frying pan and a wine bottle and said that shooting such people was a good idea because psychiatrists don't mess around in Belfast. There's none of that, how did you get on with your father nonsense there. It's just, shooting people is a good idea. Get off my couch and get out now. That'll be £20 if you know what's good for you.
Amanda.
This actually is from the Irish Independent. Battle Mountain, a Nevada town that was named Armpit of America by the Washington Post, is to host its own Armpit Festival in August. Sponsored by Old Spice deodorant, the festival will include an armpit beauty pageant, a sweat T-shirt contest, and a quick draw antiperspirant competition. The Post chose Battle Mountain for its, quote, lack of character and charm, its pathetic assemblage of ghastly buildings, and its nasty people.
Linda.
This cutting was sent in by Pamela Gorham from the Lancaster Guardian, and it's a correction to the previous week's recipe. Chris Dixon's actual recipe should have read half a teaspoonful of baking powder and half a pint of water, not one tablespoon of baking powder and one pint of water, as printed. Apologies to readers who followed last week's recipe for sticky toffee pudding and had their puddings explode.
Francis.
Simon, this is from Railway Magazine. Four anti-war protesters who planned to ambush a Glasgow to London train decided against the plan after discovering that the train was full of Celtic fans.
Thank you all. Let's look at the final scores now. Jeremy and Amanda have lots and lots of points, and so have Linda and Francis. And before we leave you, here's a classified ad from the Wiltshire Evening Advertiser.
Wanted, original 1982 Jane Fonda workout video, the one where she's lying on her back with her legs in the air.
Back, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Amanda Iannucci, Linda Smith and Francis Wheen. The chairman was Simon Hoggett, and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by George Poles, Lucy Clark and Simon Littlefield. The chairman's otter was tickled by Marika Good. And the producer was Simon Nichols.